Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the first chapter.
Romans chapter 1.
Page 1191 in your Schofield Bible. We'll be reading the first six verses. We'll read the verses responsively. The fourth verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, as we always do for the reading of God's Word. Reading responsively now, verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. It comes along regularly every week. We get to come here on Sunday and be a part of this great church family. What a privilege, what an honor, what a joy. And here you've brought us together again. We realize there are those who are not with us, who might usually be with us. They're with family members in other places. We pray for your protection over the entire church family and help those who cannot be here. Bless, we pray, the preaching. Help us to have hearts that are tender and receptive. May our minds be focused upon that which is preached, and may our hearts be set upon pleasing thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you listen this morning to every word I say, you will learn something, and you'll be blessed. But you'll have to listen carefully. And listen carefully to every word. There's nothing that's perverted. I'm not going to destroy your Christmas this morning. I'll do that tonight. But I'm not going to destroy your Christmas this morning at all. I'm not going to preach at you. I'm going to give you the truth of Christmas. Let me make a statement. Jesus was not born that men may get along with each other. He was not born, so he did not come, so you and I could be at peace with each other. He did not come so that nations could be at peace with each other. The Bible says he came to bring peace and goodwill, not between men, but toward men. See? I'm going to speak this morning on a very unexciting title, and yet a great truth. Just the title of my message is The Incarnation. That's all, just the incarnation. But you'll understand the purpose of Christmas and the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. Let me say this. We're not talking this morning about a little sweet baby that was born in a manger. This is not just another sweet baby. This is not just the king coming to earth to establish peace. This is not a negotiator of peace between people. This is not a pattern being born by which man should live, primarily. This is not God's little boy, God's baby boy being born in Bethlehem. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, the incarnation. I'm going to read for you one verse before I pray. It's my text verse. And declared to be the Son of God with power. That's talking about Jesus. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Don't forget that word declared. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to come back to that word and teach you what that word means. And if you'll listen carefully, you'll be blessed. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak and our people as they hear today. And I pray that we'll not lose the Christmas spirit, but get the Christmas spirit. This old heathen world going from store to store, that's not the Christmas spirit, so I'm not against that. This whole thing about just going home to see mom and dad, not against that. But that's not the Christmas spirit. A little baby in a manger out in the front yard somewhere in decoration, I'm not against that, but that's not the Christmas spirit. I pray you help me to lead our people into the real Christmas spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. What does the word incarnation mean? If you'll check the Webster's Dictionary, and I'm very encouraged to find that the Webster's Dictionary is pretty close to what the word incarnation means. It means God coming to earth in a human body so man can comprehend what God is all about. The word is often described man or God clothed with flesh. That's what the incarnation is about. Again, this old pagan world looks at a little manger and sees a little baby there and say, he came to make us get along with each other. Boy, he sure has failed, I'll tell you for sure. No, he didn't come for that. Let me make several statements this morning, and the most important things I'm going to say will be these first statements, and I'll elaborate. This wasn't a baby being born to bring civil peace on earth. That's what Satan wants us to think. See, peace is always a good word, we think, but that's not the primary reason why he came. Don't misunderstand me. God wants us to get along with each other, but that's not why Jesus came, so that he could bring civil peace on earth. That's Satan perverting the purpose of his coming. But he came to make peace between God and man. That's why he came. The Bible says he came to bring peace. He's not talking about peace between Ray Bordway and Jack Howes because Ray messed up a while ago. That'll never be resolved. He's not talking about you and your wife getting along with each other, though other places in the Bible tells that you are supposed to get along. But the coming of Christ to the earth 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem was not to bring civil peace on earth, but to make peace between God and man, who had been alienated since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Again, next statement. He did not come mainly to cause peace on earth and goodwill between man. As I said a while ago, it says toward man. It doesn't say between men. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. From where? From God. Jesus came to bring peace from God to man, so that man might be reconciled to a God from whom he was separated because of sin. Next statement. And I've already implied this. He did not come to reconcile man with man, but to reconcile God with man. Next statement. He did not come primarily to cause men to put down their swords. He came, don't miss this, he came primarily to cause God to put down his sword. The wages of sin is death. A just and holy God must require the penalty for sin. So the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So God's sword is pulled from its sheath, and justly so, to penalize man for his sin. Do not take notes while I'm preaching. Look at me. I've got something to tell you. Listen carefully now. When Jesus came in Bethlehem, he came to bring peace from God toward man by satisfying the justice of God and paying our penalty in our place so God could sheath his sword and no longer pour out his wrath on mankind. He came to make it possible for God, don't leave me now, he came to make it possible for God within his justice to offer peace toward man. So when the carol was sung, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, it's not talking about goodwill from men toward man. It's talking about goodwill from peace on earth from God to man
Thank God there's a way to go to heaven now. Thank God His justice has been satisfied. His holiness has been vindicated. And the price that required for sin has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. And that's why He came. Not to make you have peace with your wife. Not to make you have peace with your fellow man. But to give you a way where God can allow you to have peace with Him.
The prayer is even more in the incarnation. This is only my introduction. The body of the messenger comes about 12:15.
There's even more in the incarnation. Let me explain. Don't leave me. Colossians 1:5. Who is the image of the invisible God? I cannot see God. Jesus is enabling me to see God. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the visible. Now, but understanding, God's only invisible because I can't see Him. Certainly He's visible, but I cannot see Him. So Jesus came to make God visible to me. Hebrews 1:3. The express image of God's person. So Jesus is God impressed on a human body, so you and I, who could not see God, may see God in Jesus Christ. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's God becoming flesh, that's the incarnation, and dwelt among us. The word dwelt there is the word tabernacle. It means that He who lived in the holy permanent city came in an earthly body and tabernacled on earth for 33 years. So what is Christmas? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a shame to think Christmas is just a bunch of holly, or just a bunch of trees, or just a bunch of decoration, or just a bunch of shopping, or trip home to see mom and dad. Christmas, you ought to shout the praises of God, because Christmas was God Himself becoming flesh, so we could understand Him, to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward us from God. Hallelujah.
But my text explains it in even a different way.
It says He came, don't miss this, here's the sermon, declared to be the Son of God. That word declared is an interesting Greek word. It's the word horizo. H-O-R-I-Z-O, horizo. We get our word horizon from that word. So the Bible says that in my text in Romans 1:4, Jesus was horizoned. He was horizoned to be the Son of God. Now what does that mean? He who was beyond the horizon came to the horizon to tell me what was beyond the horizon.
So John, go outside the door and I'll call you back in a minute. If you behave, I'll let you stay next time.
All right? I cannot see God. He is beyond, okay, let me get this. The horizon is as far as I can see. That's what it means. It's as far as I can see. Number two, I cannot see far enough to see God because He's beyond my horizon. Are you with me? So, He is there, but I can't see that far. So, the incarnation, hear me now, the incarnation is God coming to the horizon so I can see Him. Now, if I believe that, listen, if I can believe the incarnation, I can believe everything else in the Bible. Everything else hinges on the incarnation. God coming to the horizon. So I look and I can't see God. He's there, but He's beyond my sight. He's not on the horizon. I cannot see Him. But in Bethlehem, Brother John, open the door, please. Stand right there with the door open where we can see you. Come outside the... Now... That's what Jesus is. Jesus is God who is the invisible God, not seen by me because my horizon does not go that far. It is God coming to my horizon where I can see Him. Now bear in mind this. He is on the horizon. Don't miss it now. He is on the horizon. So I ask a question. I don't get this now. I don't have to see God if I can see Him who can see God. I don't have to know if I can know him who knows. I don't have to hear if I can hear him who hears. And I don't have to understand if I can understand him who understands. So there is Jesus Christ, who is God, on the horizon. Jesus asked the question, you're on my right, I can't see the invisible God. I can't see heaven, but I can see you. So what do you see beyond the horizon, Jesus? You see heaven there. All right. Now, my belief in heaven depends on the incarnation. Because he who was beyond the horizon came on my horizon. Are you listening? Came on my horizon. And if I can believe that that is God where I can see him, I can believe what he sees. I cannot see what's beyond the horizon, but I can see him who can see what's beyond the horizon. What else do you see, God, Jesus? You see streets of gold. You know why I know there are streets of gold? Because of the incarnation. He whom I could not see became him whom I could see in order that I might believe what he said. You see streets of gold, so I believe there are streets of gold. I have not seen those streets of gold, but I have seen him who has seen those streets of gold. I do not know about those streets of gold, but I know him who knows about the streets of gold. I have not walked those streets of gold, but bless God, I know somebody who has walked those streets of gold, and I walk with him who has walked the streets of gold. I'm saying, if you believe the incarnation, it's easy to believe everything else, because you got to have, hear me, you got to have somebody on the horizon who sees beyond the horizon to tell you what's back there. Jesus, what else do you see back there? Gates of pearl. I have never seen gates of pearl, but I know him who has seen gates of pearl. So because of the incarnation, he has been here to tell me about those gates of pearl. John 14, 1 through 3, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house and in mansions. And so I believe they're there because I've seen them. No, but because the person who in whom I have the most confidence of anybody has seen them. He told me he saw them, and he came to the horizon so man could see what God was like, and so he could tell us what was on the other side of the horizon. What else do you see, Jesus? You do? Name some of them. You see Abraham, Jacob, Joseph. Can you see my mother? I know my mother's there then. Why do I know my mother's there? The incarnation. He whom I could not see became him who was visible. The visible of the invisible God, of the ever-present, the invisible God, God impressed in flesh. I can see flesh. Flesh is within my horizon. Spirit is not within my horizon. Bless God, my mother's in heaven. How do I know? Because of the incarnation. What else do you see? Oh, former members of the church here. Let me ask you a question. There on the horizon, do you see why the heartaches that I've had? Look and see. You see the reason for them? All right. Now, I don't know the reason, but because of the incarnation, because he who was beyond the horizon came to the horizon, I don't know why we suffer, but he knows why we suffer. Boy, I tell you, I'm about to have a spell right here on the platform. Glory to God. All of it hinges not on that little baby in a crib somewhere in somebody's front yard, not on the fact that he came so we get along with each other. The eternal, pre-existent, invisible Jehovah God became flesh so I can see him. He got close enough to be on my horizon, hallelujah, and I can see him. So now I believe in heaven. I've not seen it, but the one I see has seen it. I've not known, I don't know the reason why we suffer, but the one that I trust and knows why we suffer. Why? He sees this side of the horizon and that side of the horizon. He sees what I cannot see, so I believe it. He knows what I cannot know, so I believe it. He understands what I cannot understand, so I believe it. Hallelujah! Jesus came as the Jehovah, invisible God, made visible so we could see him on our horizon. Thank you, Brother John. So, I cannot see heaven. It's beyond my horizon. But he whom I can see says he saw it. So I believe it because of the incarnation. I cannot see why heartaches come my way. But he, whom I can see, says he sees it. So I believe there is a reason, because of the incarnation. I cannot see the way I can make it. I look and I say, I cannot see how I can make it. But he who became flesh and stood on the borderline between the horizon and beyond the horizon, became flesh. He looks to heaven and he sees why all the suffering. And now then, I don't know why, but thank God I don't have to know why. He knows why. I cannot see the way. I cannot see the way out. But he who was incarnate so man could see him can see the way out. So I believe there is a way out, because he who can see the way out tells me he sees the way out. I can understand why a young wife who had left a widow with other children. I can understand that. But I don't have to understand it, because of the incarnation. Let me get you in the Christmas spirit. Let me get you in some more spirit more than a shopping mall and some lights in the front yard. I'm not against those things at all, but somebody ought to proclaim what it's all about. He who is invisible became visible, and he was beyond the horizon, came within my horizon so I could see him and so I could have a way to make peace with God through him. And he came to tell me, you can't see, Jack, but I can see. I can see the reason for the burdens. I can see your way out. I can see the reason for the heartache. I understand it. Praise God today. There is one on the horizon. His name was Jesus. The horizon to be the Son of God. I cannot see why a young man with a family sits in a wheelchair over here paralyzed. But he who was arising can see. So I believe there's a reason. I cannot understand why a man in midlife would lose his dear companion. But he who came on the horizon looks beyond the horizon to tell me what he sees. And you mark it down. There is a reason why these little widows in our church had been left widows. You say, what is it? I don't know what it is, but I don't have to know. I know somebody who knows. I don't understand why a lovely couple could have triplets. One dies. The second has cerebral palsy. The third is blind. Are they here this morning? Let me know if they're here. Are they back there? Is my little girl blind friend back there? Is she back there? Would one of you fellows bring her up here? I want you to see that little girl. Oh, she loves my preaching. In fact, I don't know anybody else that does, but she does. The triplets. Can you imagine? Triplets. One of them died. Second, she had palsy. And the third is blind. You won't find in your life a couple with more courage than this lady and her husband right here. By the way, he also owns the two of the Papa John pizza places. Good pizza. Thank you very much. Sweetheart, would you come up here? She can walk, can't she? All right, come up here, sweetheart. Brother House is going to help you. Right up here. Brother John, go back there again. Now, this is one of my best friends. And she loves to hear me preach. And she also thinks I'm good looking, don't you? Don't you? Yes, she does. And she asks if she can hear me preach, and she sits there and listens to everything I say. I look at Mrs. Brock today and I say to her, I don't understand it. I don't understand why. I think I anointed you folks at all, didn't I? Asked for baby. I used too much oil. Three were born.
One died. One has real palsy back there now. And this precious little girl had never seen a sunrise or a sunset. Never seen her mommy. I can't understand that. I can't understand that. I looked to God. Close the door, John. I looked to God. And I say, God, I can't see it. But 2,000 years ago, God came to the world. Come in, John. God came to earth. I cannot understand a spirit, but I can see flesh. And I can see God there in the flesh. Jesus, would you look back down to beyond the horizon and tell me if you can see why this little girl is blind? Can you tell me why her little brother has real palsy? Look and see if you can see why, brother Jesus. That's all I need. That's all I need. God came to my horizon where I could see him. And you listen to me. If Jesus tells me there's a reason this little girl is blind, praise God, I believe there's a reason. And you know what? You say, oh, poor little girl doesn't have all the joy in life. You wait till she gets to heaven. She's going to have more fun than you do, I guarantee you for sure. And then not only is she going to be able to see, and the first face you'll ever see is the face of the one who came 2,000 years ago. She'll see him for the first time, and the first face you'll ever see, and then she'll see why. Hallelujah! Thank God for Bethlehem! God becoming flesh, and he beyond the horizon, invisible, made visible, so we could see him on our horizon. And he who can see heaven and earth can tell us what he sees. God bless you. Thank you so very much. I know that was hard for you, but thank you. I don't know why a lady should lose her husband to a freak accident. Thank you, Brother John. I don't know why, but he who was beyond the horizon came to the horizon so he could tell me there was a reason. I don't know why men go first and leave widows. I've never understood that in the plan of God. Why do men live shorter lives than women? I don't understand that. I don't know why these dear precious widows here have to live out their lifespan without the choice of their life, without the mate of that. I don't understand that. But I don't have to understand it, because he who cannot understand became him who I can understand. And he says there's a reason. I don't know why a young man ready to go to the mission field is taken leaving a widow and a family. I don't know why godly parents have their hearts broken by their grown children. I don't know why all the battles. I don't know why all the tears. I don't know why all the pain. But if you cannot understand the incarnation, you'll never understand why. But the incarnation was somebody to come to allow God to make peace, to offer me peace, and offer, if I would trust him, his son is my Savior, peace would be right between me and God. But that isn't all. He came to be on my horizon, so God, who was invisible, could be seen. And now man has saw him. And the apostle said, I touched him with my own hands. And Thomas, the doubter, even touched him and said, my Lord and my God. I'm saying, thank God, the great Jehovah, invisible, omnipotent God of gods, came so man could see him. He's in our horizon to make peace between us and God. And to look in heaven and tell us what he saw, and look in heaven and tell us why. Thank God. I don't know why, but I know there's a why, and I know I'll know someday the why. All because of the incarnation. You see, it all hinges on the incarnation, which is God made flesh, God tabernacling among us, God revealed to us, God's image placed on flesh to show us God. But more than that, it was God appearing on the horizon. I look and I say, God, what do you like? He says, I'll show you. I'll come to the horizon so you can see me. I'll send my horizon. You can see what I look like. You can see what I'm like. I'll show you my love so you can understand it. I'll show you my patience so you can understand it. I'll show you my compassion so you can understand it. I will embody all of my qualities in a flesh and put him on your horizon where you can see him. Where he can stand on a borderline between earth and heaven, look to earth and see what's happening, and then look to heaven and see why, and turn around and tell us that there is a reason. So, if I can believe God is on the horizon, I can believe what he says is beyond the horizon. I trust this man right here. If this were really a truth, more than an illustration, if he said he saw heaven, I believe he saw heaven. Because I trust John Colston's word. I also trust the word of the Son of God. Revealed in the flesh. Horizoned. God appearing on the horizon. So we who cannot see beyond the horizon can see him and listen to what he tells us is beyond the horizon. May I tell you what he said? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I've not seen those mansions, but he who came to horizon told me that he sees them. So I believe they're there. He told me there's a Jehovah God. I have not seen him, but Jesus has seen him. He who was beyond the horizon became him who is on the horizon to tell me there's a God. He told me that there was a hell. I believe it because the God horizon told me that. I believe that the salvation is through Jesus Christ and trusting him as Savior. Why? Because he who was horizon 2,000 years ago, he told me that's the way to get to heaven. Hey, that's not just another baby in the manger. That's just not just another Christ child, another child. That's not just a king coming to earth. That's not a negotiator to make peace between men. That's not a pattern by which we can live. That's not God's little boy. That is God himself coming to the horizon to make our peace with God and telling us what's beyond the horizon and providing a way for us to go there. Would you bow your heads, please?